Blog Talk Radio.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in. I am always excited to see what the Holy Spirit has in store. We are continuing our over-year series on prayer. And this week, we are finishing up and finalizing just the last few minutes to have a review on corporate prayer. And we are talking today distinctly about how to pray for those that you love, how to pray for your loved ones. In Nehemiah 4 and 6 is where we'll be taking our scripture text from, and 13 through 14. Holy Spirit, we just invite you into what we do to lead, to guide, to direct us into all truths. And we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for the promises that we are walking in when Jesus said that he would send you the Comforter to lead and guide and direct our lives. And we talked on last week about we as people would draw near and listen to God and truly hear his voice. And that as the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit are manifested among us, and especially our families, as we have corporate prayer, we will become strong, functional, growing in health, and that even those of you who are at school, that the times of schools for members would not just rise to breach in values or to lead in poor choices, but rather lead to greater inner strength, and that there would be discipleship and relationships that were developed comfortably in an effective manner. And even as Christians, you know, I say, why are we here on earth? We're here for kingdom business, to do kingdom service, that it would be enjoyable. And that what you do that you don't think it's not possible, but possible, and strengthening to each other, and that the spiritual ambition would be balanced, but the main thing, yield it to the Holy Spirit. And so that is what we concluded with last week, of the power of prayer when we pray corporately. So if you want to go back and listen to those tapes, it would be great just to see how the Holy Spirit moves and the power of corporate prayer. But today we want to continue on with our series on prayer, be how to pray for your loved ones. I think the greatest desire that any of us has is to see our loved ones saved. You know, we were just ministering with different people, and sometimes, oh, I want my husband saved. Or we've been ministering, those of you who are ministers, with someone, oh, my wife saved. Oh, if I could just have my children saved, or they would come into the midst of the true purpose, the true will of God, to walk in the fullness, to know him and to accept him as Lord of their lives. Not just Lord in their lives, but Lord of their lives. That is our desire. And so today, and throughout the series here, I don't know how long it will take. We always leave it up to the Holy Spirit. But just as an intro, we're going to talk about all of us who have loved ones whom we're concerned about. How do we pray? And more than, you know, just more than just Lord save them, we're going to talk about our role as men and women of God, how to present God to a man and present man to God, and even being a priest to our loved ones, a priest to our family members. You know, we have the promise. And I love in Acts where it states that if we are baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit, that that's a promise. It's a promise to you. It's a promise to generations. That our whole household, you ever seen 3 and 4 generations of ministers and 3 and 4 generations of preachers? It's not just for them, it's for us, because we have the promise of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, and we just need to be able to walk in it and receive it. Receive those divine blessings, those divine purposes that God has for us. So let's look at and turn our Bibles to, we'll look at Nehemiah and we are going to, look at, and I gave you that 4, and let's do verse 6, and then we will go to 4 and look at verse 13. So that's Nehemiah, the 6th chapter. You know, God has a purpose and a plan. And you know what I really want you to see? And I just want, let's just take a pause. And as you're turning there, I want you to see your household saved. I want you to see your son that's been going through that revolving door of prison or just up and down in trouble. I want you just to see him walking in the path that God promises. Your daughter, your husband, begin to speak those things. Begin to call him or her a Christian, not a no good son or no good husband or a wife that doesn't, obey me, or our husband that he doesn't provide. But no, my husband is a provider. God has a job. He's working in his purpose. My wife confessed that she submits to the will of God, and she walks out his plans. And as she's walking out her plans, that we will be in unity, that my children are the best, that I love my sisters, I love my family. And before we read, I just want to tell you the story. My daughter and I were listening to a radio show, and this particular host of the show was trying to help a person get out of debt. And he was showing them a program that was available that they could walk in, and this program that they could do to be able to get them out of debt. Well, our ministry and organization had just counseled someone in this particular area, and we knew all of the different forms that needed to be filled out and how it worked. But the lady had got on, and it was just awful how she was reading, the host was reading the letter from her, and she just sounded so angry. And she's like, I've been married a year, and my husband is in debt, and I didn't ask for this. He had accumulated this debt 10 years before we got married. And how you told me to do it, the radio host is reading this. A, B, C, and D, I did it all, but they sent me a letter saying I owe more money, and it didn't work. It's what you expect. So... And the host on the radio show said, well, I'm sorry, ma'am, that I made you angry. So I said all of that to say, even with our loved ones, that we're praying for our loved ones, that we're believing for, that we should expect the best. I'll never forget, we were doing a Friday night evening and meeting, and we had all of the parents bring their children to the front. And one grandparent brought her grandson and said, you know, his dad told him, I'm sorry you were born and you were a mistake. So if we want our loved ones saved, we need to speak what God says. And I apologize here. We're in Nehemiah 4 and 6. And when we make a mistake, we just need to say we're sorry. And I always have to point it out because we all make mistakes. So let's look at Nehemiah. Oh, boy, we're really having a good day here today. Nehemiah 4 and verse 6. I'm so used to Ephesians 6. Okay, so we're going to talk about Nehemiah 4 and verse 6. So it reads as follows. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their hearts. We're talking about how do we pray to get our family saved. Now let's look down at verse 13. It says, therefore I station some of the people behind the lowest point of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by, who knows what goes in there? Maybe you don't have your Bible out there. They posted them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. Now look at that. And the next one. And after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers. Wow, your sons and your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Now, isn't that amazing? So they were posted here. Family members, they had a significant part in this. So they had a significant part. So all of us have loved ones about whom we're concerned. If it's our husbands, our wives, our children, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our relatives, even close friends. You know, sometimes in the body of Christ, you have close friends that are closer to you than your regular family. So I want you just to think about right now, and we're going to be in agreement by the end of this series, and even by the end of this phone, this radio show today, that there's change. It's even right now, it's already taking place. Instantly, and I even believe progressively, God is starting. He is moving. Things are shifting. But I want you to think about your husband or your wife, or what is it you want? What is it that God is doing as far as in their lives, as far as salvation? What about your children? What do you want God to do? Your parents, your brothers and sisters, even those close friends, all your relatives. So how do we pray? I want you to think, how do you pray? You know, I believe the point that was just made was that when you pray, see them the way God sees them, and know to stand on the promises. And we're not going to just pray. It's more than, oh, Lord, please save them. Yes, we want them saved, and there's a promise. But if we don't know how or what to pray, we can't pray for them. But we can do what? Pray in the Spirit. Now, I want you to turn your Bible to Romans, the 8th chapter. That's Romans, the 8th chapter, and that's verse 26. Then we will also look at verse 27, and it reads as follows. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, and we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us, who groans that words cannot express. See, this is the enemy doesn't want us to pray in the Spirit anymore. He really tries to fight that. But when we're praying in the Spirit, it says here that he's helping us in our own weaknesses. And even when we're praying for others, we may know not what to pray, but we're praying for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Now, 27, a lot of times we just focus on 26, but I want you to get this in your spirit. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with, here it is, God's will. So when you're praying for your loved ones, you're praying for family members, you may not know the will of God. I've been praying for a loved one of mine to find their mate. And the Lord just said, start praying in the Spirit. You don't know what God is, how he's going to work it out or what he's going to do. But just begin to pray in the Spirit. So that is one of the key elements that we need to pray. And, of course, we want to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we did a whole session on that in our teaching. We went over the Lord's Prayer, but we won't go into the depth of that today. But when we pray, God, let your kingdom come, I believe that you can have such a heavenly relationship right here on earth, as it is in heaven. God has a plan. He has a purpose. As we drive along, we just had a beautiful lunch on the water at this lake. Can you imagine what it's like in heaven? And they were playing beautiful music, and we were eating beautiful, delicious food that God put on the earth. And in heaven, you're going to have, there's going to be like on the tree the Bible talks about, you know, the fruit. There's water. There's like, you know, heaven is on earth. You can pray for God's kingdom to come and for God to bless your family members to have a harmonious life where they don't have to live under the devil's claw and let those demonic forces that's been cast out of heaven, a third of them, influence their lives. As you're praying in the Spirit, God will give the unveiling. Now, so that's the first point, is all of us, we have loved ones that we're concerned about. It's more than the second point. It's how do we pray in the Spirit and that his will be done. And for the but the main thing is for the kingdom to come, and we know His will is for our families to be saved, for our families to prosper, for our families to walk into the abundance and into the blessings of what God has for us to do. But we have to believe it. We have to walk in it. Now, this next point, but in addition, there are certain principles in the scriptures that's going to show us how to pray more precisely and even intelligently.
You know, it's like a bugle or a trumpet or a sound that's given before war. Even with prayer, you have to be precise in what you're asking for. Even right down to the detail. You know, have you ever thought about you ask God to do something? And you're like, oh, God did that. But prayer of what you've asked maybe wasn't as detailed for what you wanted. For an example, maybe you were like, well, God, you know, this is a hypothetical thing. Oh, Lord, I don't want to go to wherever you want to go here in America. Florida. I want to go to California. You may go and you may get there, but you may not even do the. So you may not experience the fullness of the abundance of everything that you wanted to do. That was the extent of it. But why do you want to go? What do you want to see happen? So it's like that at war. When you go to war, you have to make that sure sound. You have to have that crucial conversation with God. And even in the heavenly realm, your angelic hosts are waiting for the precise command that you walk into the fullness of everything that is expected. You may pray, oh, I want my son to get out of jail. Well, he's out of jail. Now what? He's out of jail. Well, he's out of jail. Yeah, you know, he's not doing drugs anymore. But you want to, or they're not doing this anymore. Or she's not doing this. But what is it? Be precise. There's the precision and what you're wanting to see God do. That they may get out of jail. They may come into the fullness of Christ. They may have a relationship with Him. They may be filled with the Spirit. That they find a church home. Begin to pray that they find a godly mate. And that the grandchildren are blessed. And just pray what you see in the fullness of what you want to see God do. And the next thing is also how to pray. How are you going to pray with that spiritual authority? That's the next point. As you're praying precisely and intelligently according to the, and you're praying the will of God, it's not intellect, but it's the will of God, but using the wisdom of God, which incorporates the intellect of what you're to do in the natural realm to bring heaven to earth. But the next point is that you are praying in the Spirit and with supplication. You're praying precise. You're seeing it by faith, but you're praying it with the authority and the blood of Jesus that you are covered with, that they may be covered with, and the promises of what the Word says. It's because God's Word said it, and because Jesus shed His blood on Calvary that we might be saved, and because the Word says that our household would be saved, that our family would be saved. And so based on that authority, you are believing it, and you're standing your ground to see it happen. And that's what God is waiting for us to do. So many things we don't have is because we haven't prayed. I remember Pastor Starr was praying for her cousin. And I mean, she was praying every day. God had put it on her heart. And she saw in the spiritual realm what to pray for, what to pray about. But she saw the manifestation in the natural realm. See how God, he moves. He's waiting on us to speak into the atmosphere with the authority that is given to us through Christ, through the blood of Jesus, because we are in partnership. That our family may be saved. It's like the opening story that I shared about the lady who was trying to get in this program to become debt-free, but because she was so frustrated and angry, she got what she expected. She got a letter in the mail where she owed more, but it was just such a revelation to us as we listened to it on the radio because we had just helped one of our clients with that same specific thing, so we knew it worked. So, you know, it may seem cliche, but your attitude does determine your altitude. And when you're going into a situation, to know, should always know what to pray for before you go in so you can get the best result. And so the fourth point here in how to pray is praying with the spiritual authority. Now, we have several other scriptures, and we've only gotten to our fourth point as we close. I'm going to close with this, and we will pick up next week. There's a role of a warrior priest. If you are not, there's no warfare without priesthood, and we'll go into details on that. Joshua, he sends priests and armed men around Jericho. We see Samuel, he intercedes as priest for Israel before going into battle. Jehoshaphat, he sends the Levites. So God is saying, it's time for us to stand in the gap. It's time for us to decree in the heavenly realm, to declare by faith, to see our family members, to line up with the will of God, to line up with the word of God. Those are our options that God has given us. We receive it and we believe it. So we're decreeing now as we close in prayer that your loved ones, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your brothers and sisters, relatives, close friends, people who are like family, that they are coming into alignment, into the fullness of what God has. And those children will be obedient you and into the word of God and have long life, that they will walk in the blessing, that the will of God will be done on earth, and that the principles in the scripture, those are the options that you have and the only options, would show us how to pray and be precise of what you're wanting. Because when you go to war and that bugle goes, there's a sure sound that's going forth, that it's time to go forth and decree and declare that our family come into the fullness of the Godhead, and that we be saved in our household, because we have authority. So we'll pick up next week. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will talk about the role of the warrior. No warfare without priesthood. God bless you for now, Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you were inspired and encouraged. I encourage myself. I'm going to be praying more for my family, too, and pray in the spirit, because you just don't know what you're praying. God bless you. And we will see you at the appointed time. Go and be a doer of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.